Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been doing a sermon series on being in the world, but not of the world as Christians. Today I'd like to talk with you about how we differ from the world and our understanding of how the world is run. In other words, is the world we live in a chaos? Is it does everything just happen in life by chance and luck and happenstance? Is the world out of control? Or is it under control? Do you believe the world is under the rule of Almighty God? Does he still daily reign over it, upholding it by his power, ruling over all things in your favor? Now be alert, because your answer to these questions is going to greatly affect your life. It's the difference between being on a fast-moving train, knowing that you have an engineer up for driving the train, who's going to bring you straight and safely to the station, and being on a fast-moving train with no one in charge, no engineer up forward, careening down the tracks out of control, a runaway train. Many people think that the world is a runaway train. Do you? Well, today then, I'd like to talk with you about what kind of a king is this God whom we serve. Does he still daily rule over the earth? Is his hand at work in the events of our days? And can we have confidence in the overarching order of God for our lives and for the world? Or is it just a chaos? Is it a runaway train? What can we say about these things based upon God's word, and what's God say to us? Well, first thing I believe God says is this: consider, my children, what the world tries to teach you about this. The world teaches you that everything in life is ultimately being driven by random chance, and that the world is out of control. There's no one steering it. It's a runaway train. Remember last week we talked about the origin of the universe, the origin of mankind, the origin of created things and the earth. And what did we teach, or what did the world say? Darwin and evolution teach that it all came about by the random slot machine of the universe. It all just happened by accident, by dumb luck. And that's what, incidentally, the world continues to believe how it runs today. It's ordered by chance, by a slot machine, by random dumb luck, by accident, and not by the hand of God. You've heard this: it's a mad jungle out there. So you better just eke out your own existence as best you can in that jungle, because there's really nobody at the helm. There's nobody steering. There's no master engineer. It's a runaway train. And what kinds of things are out of control, according to the world? According to the world, these are out of control: wind and weather, storms and hurricanes, the sea and waves, rains and droughts, earth bringing forth its fruits, and famine, the rise and fall of nations, victory or defeat in war, the destinies of nations and their borders, the rising or falling of kings and presidents, or economic strength of a people, the ups and downs of Wall Street, your own prosperity in life. All these things, the world says, are by chance and by random chance alone, and not by the hand of God. And therefore it teaches you, since it's a runaway train, if you're going to survive in this jungle, you'd better take control of it yourself as best as you can. Jump into the driver's seat. Take charge of your own destiny. As the poem says, I'm the master of my own fate. I'm the captain of my own soul. You know how many diets there are out there? Take control of your eating. Take control of your finances. Take control of your relationships. Take control of your destiny. Everything's about you taking control, because no one is steering this train. Not to say you can't help yourself in these ways, but that's the point. People believe that no one is driving it. It's by your own ingenuity, by your own cleverness, by your own wit, by your own strength, that you might be able to eke out and scratch out a living for yourself here in this jungle. And some people believe that if they're too powerless to do that, they look to leaders to do that for them. You saw this in the last election, right? If I elect such and so a person, that person's going to put money in my pocket, food in my stomach, and give me a Lexus to drive. So they look to governors, to presidents, to congressmen, to generals, to the military, to scientists, to doctors, to fix everything and bring order into this chaotic jungle of a world. It's untamed, wild, unpredictable, and chaotic, disorderly, and disastrous. Now, granted, sometimes in the world you meet people, they believe that there is a God out there. You hear presidential addresses. Here's 2 hours of how we're going to fix things, or I'm going to fix things. Oh, God bless you at the end. And the world sometimes will admit that there is a God and that there's some order in nature, but that he's really not involved anymore. This goes back to the idea of deism. Have you ever heard of that? The idea that God made the world sort of like a clockmaker. God made the clock, and then he set it aside over here. He lets it run on its own. It has its own natural laws, but he's not involved anymore. It's all a hands-off kind of way. So if the wind or the weather comes up or empires rise and fall, God's not involved. He just set it up, and so it goes. But that is, it's well summed up, I think, by Timothy McVeigh, The World's Perspective. Remember him? The Oklahoma City bomber killed 168 people in 1995. He had no words before he was executed, but he did give a handwritten note with a poem. And it contained these words from that poem: "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." And if the world's out of control, then what do you feel like? What's it like to be on a runaway train? You tell me. Go ahead. Scary? Huh? Hopeless? Yeah, you're nervous. You have a sense of foreboding. You have a sense of dread. You're anxious. You're scared. You're unnerved. You feel a need to fight your brother for the little scraps of meat there are. You're terribly troubled. So I want to ask you this question. If there's no one at the wheel, have you bought into this type of an idea? That God made the world simply like a clock and now lets it run? That his hand is not really involved? That he made a clock and just lets it tick? Are you a deist? Well, the world would try to teach you these things, but now let's hear from God. What does God say to all this? He says, "Rubbish. I'm a sovereign king. Learn afresh from me and from my word about the truth. Do you not know that I rule over the world? I order and uphold it still. Hear now what I teach you, says the Lord." And I hope this reforms your thoughts today. Hebrews chapter 1, let's start there. "In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power." What does he do? Upholds the universe by his word of power. And in Colossians, Paul says this of Christ: "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Do you know that even today, even now in 2011, all things are held together by Christ? He gives everything life and orders it. What a comforting thing this is, that our God, our King, our Lord, our Shepherd is in charge, the Bible says. And he's in ordering it all to bring us to a joyful end, even through present difficulties. Don't you find this comforting, that he's in charge? Specifically then, what kinds of things are under his control? What kinds of things does he presently command according to the word? Well, let's take a look at some of those things. It might surprise you. Psalm 107, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business in great waters. These saw the deeds of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commanded," he did what? He commanded, I didn't hear you.
Commanded.
Thank you. "He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up the heavens. They went down again to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' ends. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven." Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and his wonderful works to the sons of men. So what does God command? He commanded the winds. He commanded the sea and its waves. And he delivered these men from their distress. He did what? He commanded them. He delivered them. Remember the story with Jesus? They're out on the boat. He's asleep on a cushion, totally trusting in God's rule, knowing he has power over it as well as God. And they cry to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." And they cried, and it says, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" Do you think maybe your fear in life is because you've not trusted in the sovereignty of God? That is, that he is ruling freely and powerfully over the world and even over nature on your behalf? "Why are you afraid?" he says. "Have you no faith? Have you forgotten who's in charge? Is this a runaway train? Is this a sinking ship?" And they were filled with awe, and they said, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Wind and sea obey our Lord Jesus Christ. How might you find comfort in this and his commanding of men's destinies? Well, what else does God command? Is it just wind and sea? How about all of nature? We read in Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9, what does the word of God teach us here? It says, he covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow upon the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens which cry. I want to check out with your hearts right now. Do you really believe that God is the one who puts those clouds in the sky? He prepares rain for the earth. He's the one who sends it. That grass doesn't just grow of itself, but it grows because he gives life to it. That he gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens which cry. Don't you know that all these things are happening even daily and presently at his command, his rule? He feeds the creatures, each and every one of them. You see these shows on Discovery, lion gets wildebeest. Don't you know that God prepared that to happen, to feed the young lions? For the Bible says in Psalm 104, "These all look to thee to give them their food in due season. When thou givest it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they return, die and return to their dust. And when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." Are you buying into deism? That God just set it up and he's not got his hands on these things and it all just ticks away on his own, on its own? Or are you believing what the scriptures are teaching here? Find me a place in the scripture where God says, "Whoa, I didn't see that coming. How'd that happen?" The beasts obey him, did you not know? He appointed ravens to feed Elijah, a fish to swallow Jonah. And to the lions in the den with Daniel, they did not come near because of his command. Psalm 135, verse 5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great. The Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and on earth and sea and the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth wind from his storehouses." Will you believe this today? Are you in terror when you see these things? Or do you know that your shepherd, your Lord, your king is commanding them? It makes all the difference in the world. Runaway train, train under control. And about this lightnings thing, remember 2 weeks ago we had that terrific thunder and lightning storm? You didn't have it in Cape Canaveral? We had it in Merritt Island. It was unbelievable. I have not seen anything like that since I was like a five-year-old in Connecticut. I mean, bam, right around the house. Bam, smash, boom. I mean, hitting just within a mile of our house or so. In fact, one of them did hit a mile from our house. But then what did my wife do? She came out. I was sitting on the front porch with my dog, Barnaby. He was loving it. I was loving it. Beth comes out and says, "What are you doing here, you crazy man? Stupid, get inside." So I came inside, but I told her, Honey, I want to feel it. I want to taste it. I want to experience its power. And so she said, all right, but you're crazy. So I went back out on the front porch, and I knelt down, and it was raining, and there were a couple of crashes and bangs near me. Then all of a sudden, and this is just no joke, all of a sudden, all I saw was and light everywhere. I didn't see a streak. All I saw was nothing but blazing light all around me, and a crash, whack, boom. And all of a sudden, I thought two things. Number one, she's right, I'm stupid. Right? Number two, I thought of the Chris Tomlin song, "Who Has Told Every Lightning Bolt Where It Should Go?" Praise God that hopefully I'll be more responsible in the future, but I took comfort in the fact that my God is in control of these things. Job 38, God says, "Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say, 'Here we are'? Find for me a place in the Bible where a lightning bolt smashes and God says, 'Whoa, I didn't see that coming.'" The Bible says these things are of God. They're under his charge, his command, his bidding. So take comfort that he rules. So that's nature. But what about the affairs of men? Does God rule over this? God says, "I rule over the kingdoms, and I appoint their times, their seasons, and their boundaries." Are you worried about America today? Well, we can be worried to a certain degree, where we're heading. But we have this comforting word from Acts chapter 17. Paul says, when he's preaching to the Athenians, verse 26, he says, "And he, God, made from one nation of men, every nation of men to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation." What did he do? He determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation. Think about that. God determines these kinds of things. Do you know that in the book of Daniel, God told in the days of Daniel, there's going to be four kingdoms coming up. Right now, the Greeks are nothing. Right now, the Romans are just a bunch of little city-states here and there, sparsely put together. But here's how it's going to go. The Medes and the Persians. Medes and the Persians will come after Babylon. Then will come the Greeks. Then will come the Romans. And in the days of that Roman Empire shall my Messiah, my Christ, be born. He tells us that. How can he know these things unless he is in charge of them and sets them up? Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And so how then poor is our faith, we Christians who fear that God is limited to work out his plans if a pagan, or God forbid, a Democrat, is in the Oval Office? Don't you know that there's an office above the one called Oval? Are you so alarmed? Don't you know that our God is in the heavens, he does whatever he pleases, and kings and presidents and prime ministers and congressmen and all the earth is under his command, and he's ruling in your favor? Think of this. Is God, he rules over kingdoms, does he rule over kings? Does he rule over presidents? Let's take a look in the book of Daniel. I'll jump to chapter 5 here first. King Belshazzar made a great feast for thousands of his lords and drank wine in front of the thousand. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded the vessels of gold and of silver which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem to be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden and silver vessels which had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. Isn't that nice? Wives and concubines all drinking together? Bet that was a happy party. Could they get along? They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Immediately, fingers of a man appeared and wrote in the plaster of the wall of the king's palace and opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color was changed, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his limbs gave way, and his knees knocked together. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. What does this mean? Who can interpret it? Some man, come. Daniel can interpret it. So they brought Daniel before the king. And Daniel said, this is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered your days, the days of your kingdom, and has brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar commanded, David got purple chain, robe and chain, etc. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Does God rule over kings? Does our God rule over kingdoms? Why are you afraid if there's a Democrat on the Oval Office? Or if you're a Democrat or Republican? Although I don't think we have any of those here. You know what God said to Belshazzar's father? He gave him a dream, a troubling dream. And Daniel interpreted it and said, "It's the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field." This is sovereign king Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, "You shall be made to eat grass like the ox, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will." Do you know? I'm going to preach today, till you know. It might take a while. Till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. For not from the east and the west, not from the wilderness comes lifting up, says Psalm 75, but it's God who executes justice, putting down one and lifting up another. The world's afraid at kings, of rulers, of generals, of renegade dictators, of presidents. And I understand that. I am too, to a certain degree. For when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. All right? We got that. We should be on guard. We should vote. We should work. We should strive. That's all good and necessary. Part of God's plan. But we all, as Christians, got to know that God rules over all. God sets up one and casts down another. And Proverbs 21 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of God. He turns it wherever he will." So they shouldn't be a terror to us. Live and strive and act and do all the things that other people in America and the world do. But we're different. We're different from the world because we know and trust that God keeps us. He is driving. And who can stay his hand? Nebuchadnezzar thought he could stay God's hand. He said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, friends of Daniel, bow down and worship my golden image. If you won't bow down, you're going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And, quote, who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands? I'm the sovereign king of this world." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer the king, "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us out of your hand, O king." Then the flames did not touch them. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. "I see four men in the furnace. I only threw three in, and the fourth looks like one of the sons of the gods." And they came out. Nebuchadnezzar's heart was changed, and he says, "Blessed be your God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel to deliver his servants, who trusted in him, and set at naught the king's command." He did what? Look at that again. God overruled. God vetoed the king's command. Isn't that great? That our God, our king, our shepherd, Jesus Christ, who loves you, is ruling over all, and he can set at naught anyone's command to deliver and protect and keep us no matter what happens in this earth. Our God is in charge, and he can take care of us. Praise be to God. And Jesus said, when Pilate told him, "Don't you know that I have the power to release you and crucify you?" Power? Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been granted you from above." Jesus knew. Do you know? I'm preaching until you know. And we don't have communion today, so I can go a lot longer. The world believes, since it's out of control, it's a runaway train, that it's a dog-eat-dog kind of world. You got to make it to the top, use your cleverness, thwart your brother, and claw your way up. Is this the way it happens? David tells us in 1 Chronicles 29, "Riches and honor come from thee, and thou rulest over all. In thy hand are power and might, And in thy hand it is to make great and give strength to all. Who do you seek? Clawing over your brother or loving him, seeking God? He sets you up. He delivers you. He protects you. He feeds you. He clothes you. He gives you what you have. And he's promised to protect and defend you. And as I strive in life, and I do strive, just like you do, I know that there's the overarching hand of God in my life determined to give me victory. He's written the script, just like we talked about. My daughter said when she's watching this Captain Hornblower series, how can he be confident when he's facing all these dangers every time? I said, because someone's written the script for him. He has the words already before him. He knows it's determined that he's going to come out victorious. Therefore, he can be confident in any situation. You also can be, because God has written the script. I'll give you the words in that hour, he says. I've prepared good deeds that you should walk in them, he says. I am working all things together for good with those who love me, and I'm bringing all the world, your lives, to an ultimate, glorious, and joyous end, even through disappointments and times when you don't understand what I'm doing and it seems chaotic. I am in the driver's seat. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and I will make straight your paths, says the Lord God. And why? Because he's sovereign. That word means he's free. He answers to nobody. He's above all. He's all-wise and all-powerful. And who can stay his hand? He accomplishes all his purposes for us. So, are you a deist now? Do you believe God made the world and step back and just let it run on its own? Or do you believe that God is ruling even now at the right, Jesus at the right hand of God with all authority and power subject to him? One more question then. You might still be asking this. If God rules, why then does the world seem so chaotic? Why does it seem so disorderly? Why does everything seem so out of place? I'll give you the answer. Because man sins. God, in his righteous rule over the world, is allowing the world to reap the consequences of its sins. Why? Because the world has rejected God's rule as king. Jesus told this parable. A nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and then return, speaking about himself. He says, but his citizens hated him and sent an embassy after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. And so says the world, so says the devil. The devil then launches his attacks against the world, against us. Sin has brought trouble into the world, and we sometimes suffer because the world attacks us, the devil attacks us, and sometimes just because we live in a fallen world. God doesn't necessarily send you a sickness. It's just because you live in a world that's breaking down under sin. But I want you to know that even in times like those, God is master even over all these things. And you should find comfort in him today for all that. That by his kingly power, he's even turned the world's rejection and our rejection of him into our good favor, to our favor. For he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, Jesus. But now surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we're healed. Jesus, God, has so ordered the world that even its rebellion has turned to his people's salvation, the world's salvation. And will he not cause to prosper all my help and desire? For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him. Friends, your life is in the hands of a loving God and an all-powerful God. Ain't that wonderful? And he's delivering us all and driving us to an ultimate glorious end. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You're going to go forth like calves leaping from the stall, says God. We're looking forward to that day when the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Therefore, be calm, have peace, confidence, joy, and courage in life. For we say with David, yea, does not my house stand so with God? For he's made with me an everlasting kingdom, ordered in all things and secure. Amen. If you please stand, let's confess our faith in this wonderful Almighty God, our King. The words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Now I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You may be seated.
Thank thee, our God, and praise thy glorious name. All things come from thee, and of thy own have we given thee. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided in this offering comes from thy hand and is all thine own. We have offered freely and joyously to thee. Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of thy people. Direct our hearts toward thee. Confident that our Lord hears the prayers of his faithful, let us pray. Approach his throne of mercy, interceding on behalf of the church and the world. That God would sustain his church in her daily struggle against death and the devil, let us pray to the Lord. That each Christian, strengthened by the good news of life
in Christ of free salvation and confident because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to our Savior, that we would gladly tell others of the hope that we have. Let us pray to the Lord. That God would strengthen our faith through His holy word and sacraments and lead us to holy living through faithful service to our neighbor and our King. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would bless the nations of the earth, giving us wise and trustworthy rulers who work to serve the common good. Let us pray to the Lord. That God would continue to uphold the unemployed, giving them patience in their time of distress and confidence that He'll never leave them nor forsake them. That God would continue to bless the earth with rains in their seasons, and that the earth would bring forth fruit that we might eat and live and rejoice before our God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would continue to bless all useful scientific research, granting wisdom and skill to those who apply their knowledge for the betterment of society. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,